Rebecca. What a wonderful, wonderful thought and song. Praise the Lord for that, and you will find that, and what a joy. Well, turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you knew where we were going to be. I mentioned to you this morning, but 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin reading verse number 8 tonight. We'll look at about two or three verses here as we look through 8 through 10. And so if you find your place there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Very clear what he sought the Lord about, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He could say, therefore, I take pleasure in reproaches. Therefore, I take pleasure in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. We know the outlay here. We know that the Apostle Paul sought the Lord thrice. God said no. Each and every time, gave him the answer of no. And I want to preach for just a little while this evening. Can God trust you with a no? It's easy to stay in good humor when somebody says everything you want to hear, is it not? As long as everybody's telling me what I want to hear, then it's just great. It's easy to keep a good attitude. You find that in stores. You find that at the restaurant. As long as the person working behind the counter doesn't tell the customer anything they don't want to hear, it's easy to keep the flow going your way. My brother's a police officer, you know, and he's got to deal with lots of people. And as long as you can tell the people what they want to hear as they're working through some little situation, then it's easy to keep people an attitude that's good. But when you find the bad one, it's when you have to tell them what they don't want to hear. No, you can't do that. And I would submit to you that it's also easy when everything's going your way. Everything in life seems to be doing just pretty much like you want it to go. We seem to pray and God says, yes, that'd be fine. And we seem to seek and, well, we find what we want to find. We kind of try to endeavor into some situation and or make an endeavor into it. And we get there and we find that it works out just exactly like we should have. God, you agreed with me. We're certainly glad you made the right choice. It's easy to have a good attitude when everything goes like you think it ought to go. If the car is running good and nothing, the roof isn't leaking, nothing's going wrong, the job seems to be going steady, you're maybe even getting a promotion, everything's going well, the things that you asked for seem to come to pass. But I ask you again, can God trust you with a no? Lord, bless us now is our prayer. May we be faithful to respond correctly no matter what you answer us. Dear Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I preach this morning and from this same passage, I stay here to give a little insight to what happened when the Lord said no to the Apostle Paul. As I already mentioned this morning, this is the one that raised Eutychus. This is the one that God used to write much of the New Testament, inspired him. God allowed him to do so many things. He had the most phenomenal salvation experience, I'm sure, that you'd ever want to have on the road to Damascus, knocked down, blinded for some days, and then meets the Lord there. Gets many answers for prayer. He's the powerhouse for God as he's seen God do many things. But now, as a seasoned saint, he finds himself in a position that many of you find yourself, I believe, and that is, seems like you've had all these answers to prayer and things have been going well and you've been a blessing and you've been blessed and other people have been blessed by you. But now, when you try to do something for yourself, the heavens seem to be brass, and it doesn't seem like our prayers get up there where they need to be. And now it seems like they just hit the ceiling and bounce back down. It seems like we've gone through some great victories, and we've seen wonderful things happen for other people. We saw Eutychus raised. We saw many excellent, phenomenal things happen. But now the apostle gets to a place where he says, Lord, I'd love for this thorn to be taken from me. And the Lord says, no. Three times, a well-known preacher that many of you would know if I called his name, told the story of how one time in a particular preaching session, he preached and he was wet with sweat and just preached in the house down. And he went back home to where he had been before the service as well, back to his sick mother. And back to the same activity of what had been happening before he went, he prayed, "Lord, heal her." And he told the story through tears that in just a couple of days, even though he thought, felt like the power of God was upon him as he preached to the masses, when he went back home to pray that his mother would be spared her life, that just in a couple of days she went on to glory. What do you do with that? What do you do with that when God says no, the Apostle Paul? Would you take this thorn from me? No, and again, no, and again, no. What do you find yourself doing? And I want to see, or want to talk rather, to the blessed people tonight. The Apostle Paul would have been that. Maybe the ones that are on the upper level in their Christian life. I would venture to say you may be highly favored here and you see many great things happening in life, but you, like the Apostle Paul, find yourself buffeted and you find yourself beat down sometimes through life and whatever's happening. And yes, even through unanswered prayer. Number one, I want to give you this. If you look in the scripture there where he says in verse number 9, and he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Can I tell you this? The tougher the trial, the greater the grace. Tougher the trial, the greater the grace. What I mean by that is the higher you get in the difficulties of what's going in your life, the Bible says the greater the grace. How do you know that? Because of what the Scripture says. My grace is sufficient for thee. So I can deduce that whatever trial you are going through, whatever difficulty you find yourself in, the grace that's needed will be there in just the right amount of time and the right amount of grace, period. There will be grace, as the old song says, to cross the river, grace to do this. And there'll be grace that you've never needed before when God allows you to cross over into that time that you need it. You think about these bodybuilders that work out and they do all kinds of heavy, sometimes inhuman feats. I think the record for the bench press without any kind of shirt or assistance is 739 pounds, but you don't go do that, we don't go do that, period, but you don't go do that on the first day or the second day or the 30th day. You build up to that. You break that body down and you build it up again. You break it down, you build it up, you break it down, you build it up. And can I tell you, spiritually speaking, the greater the difficulty you go through, I can promise you this, that the Lord says He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And He finishes that verse out, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." My friend, I'm telling you, the greater the difficulty, the greater the grace. I want to draw about 3 points out of this, lest you think I just give you the normal 3-point sermon. Think about this out of that verse, verse 9. Are you looking at it? Look at whose grace, or who says His grace is enough. If you got a red letter Bible, you'll see that phrase, "My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness," and you see it's in red. But we understand that He, being Christ, He said unto me, "My grace." This is not Paul saying, "You know, I got enough grace to get me through." This is the Lord saying, "My grace is sufficient." Jesus says, "It's enough." So I've got to ask you the question, are you going to trust Jesus? He would say the same thing to you, would He not? I don't believe He'd give enough grace to one believer and not give enough grace to another believer. I believe He would say to you, like He did the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." You say, "Preacher, I'm over the edge. I'm over my limit. I've got too much on me. I've got so much that I don't think I can stand it." But the Scripture says to the Apostle Paul, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient." It wasn't Paul giving a summary of the situation. It wasn't Paul giving his assessment. It was the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "My grace is sufficient." Is He sufficient for you? And I want you to look not only who said it, but how Paul receives it. He says at the end of the verse, "Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities." He says, "I'd rather have the infirmities. If you'll promise me that the grace will be there to go through it, I'll rather have the infirmities with your presence than no infirmities without your presence." We see who says it, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see how He receives it. He says, "Okay, if that's the way it's going to be, I'd rather have the problems." And then you see what happened in verse number 10. At the end, He says, "For when I'm weak, then am I strong. The Lord performs exactly as he said he would. He started off, he said, my grace is sufficient. We see how Paul received it. He says, I'll take you up on that offer. And we see what happened was that his weakness produced strength. When I'm weak, I'm strong. You say, it doesn't seem like it works that way. It doesn't seem like it works that way to me either. But I'm trusting the Lord by faith. I see, number one, the tougher the trial, the greater the grace. I hit on this morning, so I'm not going to spend much time. But there's a no there for a reason. Can I give you that, number two? The no is there for a reason. Verse number 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says it again almost the end of the verse, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then he says at the end of verse number 9, I'd rather glory in those infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We don't always know the reason. We did with Paul here. But you know, Paul's not the only one that asked something that didn't get answered in the way he asked. Gethsemane's garden brings us another spot when the Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, in one of the most tender moments of his earthly life, showed us how to get a no answer from God the Father. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And the Lord, in essence, God the Father said, no. My friend, there's a no is there for a reason. First of all, not only is the grace, the tougher the trial, the greater the grace, but remember this, that the no is there for a reason. If you're a parent in here or you've got a parent left, you understand that oftentimes they'll allow some discomfort in the life of a child just so it'll build them. How many of you are glad your parents didn't say yes to everything you ask? Let me give you this last one. Not only is the tougher the trial, the greater the grace. That's a promise. My grace is sufficient. I believe the Apostle Paul could have 14 thorns in the flesh and God's grace would have still been sufficient because I believe the more trials, the more thorns, the more grace that Jesus Christ would have given him. And I believe the same promise is given to you. But I want to go up a couple steps on this last point and give you a strange thought process as the Bible lays out here. The third point is this, the seasoned saint or the upper level believer, if you want to, however you want to look at it, learns to pleasure when God says no. Look at verse number 10, would you, if your Bible's still open there? We've passed over these verses so many times, but look, really get down into it. Therefore, because of all these things, therefore, that's what that's there for. I take pleasure. Now, folks, we're not getting what that says. I can tell we're not because it's not the light bulbs are not clicking or not shining in all of our brains. Listen, he says, I take pleasure. Folks, I don't think we're there. I take pleasure in infirmities. Why? Because he already knows that those are the things that brings the power of Christ to rest upon him. And so he says, if that's what it takes, then I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities. And I'll take pleasure, if you will, in reproaches. I'll take pleasure in necessities, in those things that I need, but I can't get, in persecutions, in distresses. As long as they're done for Christ's sake. As I said, this is not your freshman level class. This is not the beginner. This is not your 102 class. This is your upper level. This is the doctorate level. This is some master's level. This is something else. This is not what necessarily you get taught in elementary Sunday school. But the Scripture says that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, I'll take pleasure in infirmities. I'll take a beating and I'll like it. Because he just said that the messenger of Satan was given as to buffet him. I'll take a beating and I'll like it. For God's sake. for Christ's sake, because the power of Christ rests upon me. And he'd already wrestled all those things through. You don't think there's a lot of wrestling between request number one, Lord, let this thorn get away from me. No, Lord, let this thorn please take away from me. Lord, you think there wasn't a lot of wrestling in between all of those requests? Lord, I could do so much better. And you know how we argue with God. Let's say the thorn in the flesh was some sort of physical deformity. I was looking here. Let me see here if I can find it. Chapter 10, verse 10. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful. This is talking about the Apostle Paul. But his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That's the guy we want to have for a revival next, right? So let's say one of those things, his contemptible speech or his bodily presence, one of those, they say his bodily presence was the thorn that he was speaking about. You think there wasn't a lot of arguing with God to say, God, if this contemptible body of mine, if this unsightly body of mine wasn't a factor, I could do a better job preaching for you. We've all prayed that way, haven't we? Lord, if only you'd let me my income get better, I could do more for you. I know they say money can't buy happiness, but I'd like to give it a shot, God. Maybe you can just rent it for a while. We've all argued with the Lord. Lord, if only this wasn't here, I could do more. And there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But you think there wasn't a lot of arguing back and forth between request number one, request number two, and request number three? Please take this thorn from me, Lord. If I didn't have this contemptible speech, if I didn't have this eye disease, if I wasn't reprehensible to people, if I wasn't this, then I could do a better job for you. And God says, you don't understand the equation, son. You'll do a better job with that weakness than you do without the weakness. You think you'll shine, but when you shine, you'll get puffed up. When you're not puffed up and you're reprehensible, then I can use you. But you understand what the Scripture says is that he learned to glory. He learned a pleasure in the infirmities that God allowed to come his way. You say, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can either. Not without the help of God. I've walked from the pulpit before different times, sensing that the Lord used me. I've walked from the pulpit some other time just wanting to crawl in a hole and didn't want to talk to anybody because I felt so felt like it was such a disaster. But I've walked from the pulpit before sensing that the Lord really used the message, and some of those very times were the ones that I felt the most reluctant about going into the pulpit because I knew that what I had wasn't enough. My friend, we're going to have to get to a place in our lives where we would rather be as the Apostle Paul says, I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. He learned that the way up was down. In weakness, strength was shown. Not his strength, but somebody else's. God, please remove the thorn. God answers no. God, please remove the thorn. And God answers no. And he asks the third time, and the same answer. So what I start off asking you this evening is this. When God answers you with no, can he trust you to still serve him? I don't expect an answer tonight. I don't suspect you even know one. Oh, you'd say glibly, yeah, I'll still do it. I don't know that we really will. You know, I was a youth pastor for a while in the church in Iowa that we served at. And as I already mentioned to you, it's easy sometimes to get thinking that just because somebody goes along with the flow, they've got a good attitude. I had a boy one time that I'd always thought he had a great attitude. Seemed like everything went well. He was always answered appropriately whenever I'd ask him to do something. One day, though, it shocked me, and he fired back with some attitude of an answer. It wasn't really much that I asked him to do, but he didn't want to do it. And then the real attitude showed. As I already mentioned, you've got a teenager at your house or grandson that's a teenager, whoever. As long as you never cross them, as long as you don't ever tell them anything they don't want to hear, it's difficult for you to tell whether they've got a good attitude or not. When bad attitudes are shown, it's not when things are going good, it's when things are going bad. Hey, Dad, can I take the car to go do this? You ever notice the kid doesn't want to know your reason for why or why not? He just wants to know yes. Because I know the reason I know this is you can give a 10-minute reason of why, but if the reason at the end or if the answer at the end of that 10 minutes of reasoning session is no, then all they heard was no. You could have gave 14 points and 3 subpoints underneath each one, and every one of them have been bulletproof. But all they heard was no. And when they hear that, then that's when you discover whether they've got a good attitude or a bad. And when our God tells us no, Lord, I pray that you would heal, and you fill in the blank. Lord, I pray that you would come through for, and you fill in the blank. And the Lord, like he did with the Apostle Paul, says, no. Then we've got to decide whether we're going to live down in verse at the end of verse number 9 or not. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities. Look at verse number 10. I'll take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, and that next phrase, in necessities. Lord, this is something I need. Lord, I need you to come through for this. And I've poured my heart out before to God, said, Lord, we need you to work in this way. And I'm giving it from my little finite mind, and I'm saying, Lord, this is what needs to happen. From where I'm sitting, this is what needs to happen. I've been in necessity before. God's, or the Apostle Paul, on inspiration of God, he says, I'd rather take pleasure in necessities. Meaning, I'd rather stay with a need for Christ's sake. That's why, therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities for Christ's sake. I'll take pleasure in reproaches for Christ's sake. I'll take pleasure in necessities for Christ's sake, in persecutions for in distresses for Christ's sake. All those things, they all match there. So he says, I'd rather take pleasure in necessities for Christ's sake. So if Jesus' name would get glory out of me being in need, the Apostle Paul says, I'd rather be in need for Christ's sake. So that would mean that as a missionary came through, which we'll have one next week, Brother Cottle, as he comes through, and we have many, many missionaries that have needs, maybe it's God's will that some of those needs stay present for a while for Christ's sake. Maybe the needs that you've got, God says, I want them to stay present for a little while for Christ's sake. And so this evening, I tell you that the seasoned saint learns to pleasure when God says no. You say, John, are you there? Don't ask that. God trusted Paul with a no answer. And we get the insight into this one because it's right in the pages of inspired Scripture. Paul passed the test. But again, I don't believe that's your basic elementary Christian test. I believe that's one that's probably for the seasoned saint that's walked for God with God for a while. I told you this evening that the tougher the trial, the greater the grace. Because he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You've got one trial or one thorn or 300 thorns. God says, my grace is sufficient. The no's there for a reason, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. And this saint of God got to a place where he learned to pleasure in distresses. He learned to pleasure in reproaches. He learned to pleasure in persecutions. I mean, for the world would say, Paul was one sick puppy. Learning to like all those things, not that he liked them for their sake, but he liked them for Christ's sake so that the power of God might rest upon him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want anybody to go out here and say, okay, hit me. Hit me. You don't have to ask for them. They'll come anyway. This is medicine for after it does hit you or while it's hitting you. Say, Lord, if that's what your will is, I'd rather have it with you than not have it without you. Let's pray together. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I like to think you could trust me with a no answer. Lord, I like to think that when I ask and you say no because that's what's best, that I would say I'd rather have a no answer than have a yes answer without your power. Now, Lord, I believe that you've got wonderful things ahead for us. Now, Lord, that may mean that there's some rough air as well. Lord, you know we've prayed that things in our nation would settle down and different events would happen and some would cease happening. And Lord, we're accepting your no at a few things. But Lord, may that make us drive us to our knees so that we see you work. And may that power of God rest upon us. My friend, are you at that place with me tonight? Oh, not that place of a revival that we're doing so good. I don't mean that. I don't think I do. But I'm talking about that place where you'd say, God, would you help me? Would you help me receive and accept the no's? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. As they begin to play something softly through, you say, preacher, I've been asking God some things and the answer's been no as of yet. Would you lift your hand up and let me pray for you? I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift your hand up. Say, as far as so far, it's a no. God's not answered the way I want. There's no shame in that. The Apostle Paul just got done preaching. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. My friend, I believe there's more folks that than raised their hand that have this, so let me just speak to a bunch of us. I'm challenging all of us to be the type of people that God can trust with a no answer. May we serve Him regardless of what the answer is. May we trust Him by faith that the answer is the correct one. Yes, Lord. If the answer is yes, we'll rejoice. If the answer is no, we'll say we'd rather glory in that because we know that your grace will be sufficient for us. If you're here tonight and the Lord has squeezed your heart, Christian, I'm going to ask you to do business with Him and tell Him what's on your heart. Say, Lord, I'll trust you. You can trust me with a no if that's what's best. You can trust me with it. You can trust me with a no. Would you stand together as they're playing now and I trust God is working? You say, God, you can trust me. Nobody likes a no. Don't get me wrong. Nobody likes distresses. Nobody likes persecutions. But if that's what it takes, then, Lord, I'll trust you with a no. You can trust me with a no answer. Would you come? Others are here at the altar. Would you come tonight? This old-fashioned altar. You say, I don't need to come there, preacher. You don't need to, but some of the best decisions I've ever made in my life have been at an altar just like this. We're looking for folks that would sign up on the line tonight. Say, Lord, you can trust me with a no. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on asking. I'm going to keep on seeking. But Lord, if the answer is no, you can trust me. I'm going to keep on. If the tests do come out wrong, if the word gets back from my family like I don't want it to, Lord, I still trust you. I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. Christian, I'm speaking to you. Would you sign up on tonight for the no club? That God can trust you even when the answer is no? Would you tell Him tonight, Lord, you can trust me? Christian, please do business with the Lord. If He's working on you, don't leave without Him getting to hear from you what He deserves, what you need to tell Him. Are you here and you're unsaved? The Lord has done everything He can to bring you to Him. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. You know that feeling you've got in your heart right now that maybe I should do something? Can I tell you what that is? That's God. That's the Holy Ghost of God. That nudging, that isn't just something churning in you that you've come up with. That's the Lord. If you're here, you're not saved. Would you step out and come? Somebody right in front of the pulpit I preach from would love to take a Bible and show you how you could make heaven your home, because Jesus already did everything necessary for you to go to heaven to be with Him. Your sins, we left in them, will drag you to a devil's hell to spend eternity there, but Jesus Christ died for you. Would you come? Christian, tell God you're signing up tonight. I'm on the no club. I'm in the no club, meaning that if God tells me no, then I'm still going to trust Him. Now, dear Lord, please help us, I pray. Lord, I don't want to preach something and then be guilty of not doing it, dear Lord. May we all as a church, Lord, as humbly as I know how, sign on to this club that to tell you can trust us. Lord, we're going to keep on praying. We just prayed for folks tonight. Lord, we're praying for surgeries. We're praying for different tests to come back. Some eye concerns with one dear sister of the church, dear Lord. We're praying for some kidney issues for a dear sister of the church. We're praying for all of these things, dear Lord. And we lay it out the way that it seems to us. And I believe You're pleased with that. But Lord, we prayed before for folks to be healed when they've been close to the end. And Lord, You saw fit to heal them completely and take them on to You. And Lord, we're just signing on tonight as a church. And church, I hope You're doing it with me. Lord, we're signing on as a church to accept no when that's what's best. We'd rather have a no in Your presence than a yes without Your help and Your guidance. Lord, bless us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. And thank you for being in church tonight. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do on Wednesday night.